This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Laura, why did you just like scream in the middle of the intro?
I thought she said it wrong. I'm sorry. We need to redo that.
That's my bad. Rude. I did it perfectly.
No, I messed it up.
Yes, you did. This is our first guest in a long time, and you've already screwed up the podcast, honestly. Laura.
Honestly, get out. It's like I'm getting to so many chances, running solo with me, doing our Love is Blind coverage. And now you embarrass me in front of Mathel.
Sidebar. Shelby, I told you not to invite her. Why is she here?
My God.
That is very true. She texted me. She told me she had to. It's fine though. I'm excited for her to be here. Laura, thank you for joining us and adding your own twist on our very well established intro. Yeah, it was beautiful. Laura's joining us on this important episode because she and I grew up.
She's a meteorologist.
Twister.
Yeah. Yes.
A weather.
I did go to meteorology school.
Yes. She's chased many a tornado. She's ridden many a tornado.
Oh.
Is that what they do? You don't chase. You don't chase your fears. You ride them.
Oh yeah.
You ride them hard.
You don't. You ride them into the ground.
This is a movie that I love, but also a movie that I was confused at least 75% of the time.
Yes.
Confused about the technology, confused about the science, confused about what exactly tornadoes are, how they work, confused about the personality dynamics of the group, confused if it was a romance or not a romance.
Seriously.
So confused.
I was confused about the villain. Like, there was a lot of things, but I was not confused about how great the soundtrack was.
Oh, so
how hot
fun.
Powell is. How
gorgeous.
That's really all that I was.
Were you confused about Daisy's accent?
Yes. And I think we all were.
Like, which one at what point? Like, she slipped in and out of so many different accents.
I loved it so much. It was very relatable.
Well, the thing is, she's supposed to be. She's supposed to be from Oklahoma, which doesn't, I think, really like have that strong of an accent. I guess I don't know. Like, I think it's difficult.
I don't know about that.
I think it's difficult for somebody who is Irish to do like a subtle American accent. Isn't she Irish?
Isn't that British? She was Irish.
She's British. Okay,
she's straight up British.
Okay. Well, either way, I think
she's Irish.
Because she was a normal people. Where she was Irish. No, that's Australian.
She's quite British.
I think a British person can do like just sort of like a regular American accent, or they can do a like strong Southern accent or like a Brooklyn accent or something. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're trying to get into the more like subtle sort of like Appalachian or like middle of America kind of thing, then it's like a little bit trickier for them.
I don't think Oklahoma's near the Appalachians.
No, it's not. But it's I'm just saying, I think that's all like a Pittsburgh accent. I think is also a hard accent to do.
Yeah,
you know, sure. Like I think for anybody sure. can yeah. do like you know, like the Margot Robbie just always does a Staten Island accent and everything she's in, and it's like, oh yeah, this works because I think it's an easier one to do.
Do it.
Whereas I can do it, all of the British accents, you know, flawless.
Every single one, you're excellent.
Yes, of course, quite.
Oh, yes, of course, I'd love to. Love to chase some tornadoes across the countryside.
I'm going to get on that tornado and ride it,
Love it, babes. No, definitely think so, of course.
I also liked that... her BFF had like a very New York accent. Like he didn't try. He did not try at all.
Oh, Anthony Ramos?
Yeah.
Anthony Ramos?
Yeah.
Did Anthony he have Ramos. A really New York accent?
Was he not supposed where accent. Was he supposed to like where was he supposed to be from?
I think that's he's true. From
we don't really know.
I feel
nah,
like,
he was just.
Oh no, like, no, no! He's from Miami. He's there. From Miami. He said he's from Miami.
Oh, and Miami's like New York transplant, so he could have. So that tracks.
That tracks.
I'm like his okay. accent's fine with me.
Okay, fine.
But they just like think, the thing think, is, if she just hadn't, if she just done like basic American, it would have been fine. Or if she just stuck with Southern the whole time,
I
but
liked
she kind
it.
Of kept like. Going back and forth between things, and then every now and again you'd get a British/Irish word that would pop in.
I think it speaks to her level of study of the character, because the character was trying to ignore her roots. Like she was trying to sever those ties.
It was method.
She went to New York and she was trying to lose the accent. Okay, so when she was going back to her roots, it would come in and out, but she was still really trying to figure herself out, and so her accent mirrored that journey for her character.
Totally.
Wow. Definitely. So deep. So, love yeah, that.
That's the level level of character building and like thought and work that went into this film, and it pays off across the board. Every scene matters.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Every single character choice, every single sub-character choice, it all adds to a piece of cinema that we will be enjoying for generations to come.
Yes, we are talking about Twisters, which if you didn't know, which is the sequel to Twister, which came out in the 90s, which ugh, as a disaster movie is one of Shelby's favorites, of course.
Yes,
and I have never seen it.
What?
And
I know.
I've seen clips. I'm like vaguely aware of things, but no, I did not. I did not watch the movie ahead of time. Perhaps I should have, but I did not.
And you didn't watch it after? Like, I watched Twisters on Thursday, and then I watched Twister the next day.
Yeah, but I just
didn't you leave and you wanted more, right?
I don't like watching movies at my house. That's the thing. I get too easily distracted. If it's in a movie theater, I will see anything. But if I have to sit and watch something like at home, it's sort of rare that I get up the energy to do that. You know?
I guess you're not a true movie that. Lover. No.
I watch TV
a cinema
when I'm
lover.
At home. I'm a theaters, Laura, in theaters. I'm not here with you streaming people watching things on your phone. No, I watch it as the Lord God intended it on widescreen.
With the rats running across
with
the
a
floor.
Rat over my foot, shrieking and having to get relocated.
Has this happened?
Yes, recently, while I was watching Long Legs. We discussed it on the last podcast.
Trauma.
If you had bothered to listen, Laura.
I haven't listened to it. Gosh, I've embarrassed myself so many times already. I'm going to go kill myself.
Okay. Let's not say that on the air.
Oh my God. There we go. Embarrass myself another time.
Shelby, we have to get rid of her in a lethal way, but just like. Could we cut her internet or something?
I'm gonna Avril Lavigne her and just replace her with a clone. It'll be fine.
How dare you?
It'll be great.
Okay.
It'll be better.
Perfect.
No, but Laura and I did.
Rob, get that wig out.
Laura and I grew up on Twister. A beloved film. I've revisited it quite a few times through my life, but when it was announced that they were doing a spinoff or reboot, sort of like a sequel in the loosest sense of the words, because it features Dorothy, which is the machine used in the first one, in this one. But there's no character overlap. There's no real story overlap. It's just tornadoes in Oklahoma. And I was worried, but honestly... This is like one of the best reboots I think I've experienced. And not just selfishly, like I mean that stylistically. I mean that like I think it was the perfect mix of just recognizing what was good about a film and spinning it into more modern tastes and giving a little bit more zhuzh, a little bit more shimmer, but still honoring what people liked about the original.
Well,
without being too twee, you know.
it feels like the perfect kind of movie to reboot, because like obviously it did well, but it didn't do so well that it's like one of those things that you couldn't possibly, it's not like, oh, we're rebooting Schindler's List or something. And then also, but then also at the same time, I think it's a simple enough premise that you can kind of like do some fun things with it. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward. And I think that the biggest key here to why this movie was good is the director, who's Lee Isaac Chung, who directed Minari. Mm-hmm. Like, gorgeous. I think that they very easily could have gotten someone from the like Marvel, you know, Fast and Furious kind of side of things to direct this movie, and maybe it would have been more sort of stunty. But I think they did a really nice job getting someone who's actually a very good director to do it, and then he was able to make it look beautiful, to get good performances, to put together a really good soundtrack to go along with everything. I think the visual effects are great, but also there's a lot of practical effects in the movie that look really good. The sets, you know, of these like destroyed towns and stuff are all, like actual places, which looks incredible on film. So, yeah. And as someone who watched this in the theater instead of at home, I felt like it really worked well. No, Laura, you watched it on your phone.
It's not available. If it was on phones, I would be watching it right now.
Bootlegged it from...
I watched it on my iPhone, actually.
Yeah. On her Apple Watch.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I know this isn't usually your cup of tea, but I do also know that you gave it a pretty high score and left a very nice review of it in your publication. Is on your byline now permanently.
Yes.
So what was your experience going into this? Yeah.
Well, I was sort of excited to see this because I did think it looked fun based on the trailer, and the cast was good, and also I really liked the director. So I had like, I feel like decently high expectations for it. But I think that what this did so well is just do a really excellent version of like a disaster movie. Like I didn't think it was trying to do too much or trying to change the formula. It really just nailed exactly what it was. In the review, I said it reminded me a lot of Top Gun Maverick or like The Woman King or Mission Impossible Fallout, where it's like, they're not necessarily movies that are doing crazy things, but they're just doing what they're supposed to do really, 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 really well. It's like everything, every piece of it, I feel like is like the best version of what it could be. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a very fun and enjoyable watch. It's not too long. The action moves good. The characters are all sort of like interesting enough and have interesting backstories. It's kind of funny in places. Like, it just worked for me. In the same way that I think Top Gun did a couple of years ago, where you're like, is this kind of cheesy? Like, is this really saying anything super important? No. But like, was I somehow very invested the entire time and like really enjoyed watching it? Absolutely. So
yeah,
I felt like it was doing what it needed to do and really threaded that line very well.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it was like, so many, especially disaster movies or action movies, really play into the camp of it lately. Like, you know, San Andreas or King Kong or like any of these films where it's like, oh, let's make something absolutely bonkers, like balls to the walls, nonsensical, the bigger the better. But I was surprised by how straight this movie played it in a way. Like, yes, the story itself doesn't necessarily hold up. The science is kind of nonsense. But all in all, they were really just like taking it seriously in a way that was interesting and refreshing. So it didn't feel quite as like shallow. It made it more fun to imagine the what ifs of it and to see the dumb people get sucked up and to see the trauma of it. Like, I don't know. I thought I was surprised by how straight they all played it and how it worked, even as you had a soundtrack that was beat for beat just explaining the plot as we went along. Like I loved on the surface, it was like, oh yeah, this is like serious art, but then you pull back and you're like, oh, but they were having fun with it still, but it wasn't at the expense of character, you know?
Yeah, there were a couple scenes where I like giggled to myself because it was kind of trying to be serious, but also so unserious. Like when she picks up the dandelion and just watches it gorgeous. Float away into the sky. Yeah. Gorgeous, like so hilarious. Like they're taking it so seriously.
That's how she can read the sky, Laura. Like, I know, honestly, it's just respect hilarious, her.
No, I love.
I can't respect that. It was hilarious.
I loved her as like a weather witch, like watching the grass rustle and being like, "We gotta go this way." It's like, okay, sure. Like, yeah, I can vibe with that. I think that she's the just thing. The nice thing about it is that the, like, yes, oh my gosh, it's an F5 tornado, and like, yes, it's the most tornadoes that have ever hit Oklahoma or whatever, but it didn't seem so outlandish that, like, it couldn't happen. Like, you could see a chain of events in America today, especially with global warming, which the movie didn't really get into very much, but where, like, oh, there's a bunch of tornadoes that happen to, like, hit in a row and take out a part of Oklahoma. It wasn't like, mm-hmm. you know, oh my gosh, there's a 9,000 foot tsunami that just knocked out like the entire state of Maine, like some of these other disaster movies.
Yeah, exactly. You weren't getting your 2012 moment or your Day After Tomorrow tornadoes in LA. It was like, yeah, it was played as serious as it can be. But I think what's interesting is the first one came out at a time when we didn't necessarily know. You know, like the question of the first one was pretty similar to this one, which is, we don't understand tornadoes. How do we give people warning time so that they can, you know, avoid catastrophe? And like, we don't even know how a tornado works. And so their whole shtick is like getting computers into the tornado to be able to like understand the inner workings of it. Obviously, 20 some years later, we have those answers. And so their questions become a little bit more.
I don't, but somebody might.
A little bit more, okay, yeah. You know, confusing of like, oh, is there a way to destroy a tornado with diaper cream, basically? I don't know. Like, let's play with that idea.
I'm surprised they didn't make a joke about like throwing a nuke at it or something about how that would stop it. Like, that's the vibe it was giving, frankly. They're like, we're just going to inject it with bombs and it's going to like start raining. And then somehow we have a formula that's going to suck up all the moisture. Just hilarious.
Yeah. Well, somehow.
It also was like, I did also appreciate that. Okay. They have this nebulous science going on in from both of the groups, because there's her original plan, which is, okay, we have to like inject this like powder or whatever into the middle of a tornado, which requires us sort of like driving and dropping it off in the path so that it hits it. But then the other group later on is trying to do some sort of scan where you have to set up three computers, like a triangle around a moving tornado. And I'm like, okay, I can sort of see.
I don't know.
I can sort of see like how maybe this would like how these things kind of make sense. But these have to be the most impractical ways of doing it. It's like you couldn't get a robot that we could drive into the tornado or set up just like hundreds of these stations around Oklahoma and wait for a tornado. It's like, no, we have to have the tornado on the ground, and then we have people driving cars into the center of things to try to set up stuff. It's like the technicalities make zero sense, but they also make it super compelling to watch, because you're like, they set up one of the antennas, now the second antenna is set up, oh no, now the third, when the tornado changed directions, it's going somewhere else. It's so watchable, even though it's actually ridiculous. Which
well,
I think
let's get into the plot, because I love the plot. And honestly, the opening sequence was really depressing to me, but I thought they did it well.
Oh, I loved the opening sequence.
It was
so good.
It was crazy. Also, I just, earlier Matt said like they didn't vary from like the form of this movie or something. And I just think that is so accurate compared to Twister. Had you seen the original? It's basically like a scene by scene like reshoot. Like, it
no,
has
that's
opening
disrespectful.
Trauma scene. Okay, no. Big picture, we're all there. We have like a disaster at a movie theater happening. We have like a love triangle-esque thing. Like, there's just a lot of similarities there. But it was a really good formula and they stuck with it. But
that's
all right,
true.
Plot.
Okay,
opening
I forgot about the movie.
Trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, the opening sequence trauma. You have Miss Daisy, who is a bright-eyed grad student who thinks she can solve tornado through magic and has a hot boyfriend and a cool team. When Kiernan popped up on this and the other guy from like Dear Evan Hansen, I was like, I haven't seen them around.
Oh, yeah, no. This,
Where are they in the promos?
This movie had like every person who was on last year's like Rising Stars in Hollywood list. Like there's like 15 of them. But yeah, her whole team is made up these like sort of recognizable actors, and the fact that none of them have been on any of the posters, I was like, oh, these people are dying.
They're dead.
They're goners.
R.I.P. Not the right call. Yeah. And then Anthony Ramos is separated from them. And yeah, I was
he's
like,
I'll
oh,
stay
yeah.
back. Oh, it's yeah. like, okay, good move. Good move. Good move.
But it was scary and it was sad. I honestly thought the twist was going to be that she made the tornado bigger with her suit. I kind of thought that's what was happening.
Yeah. Like, she injected it.
Oh, it's just an F1. And then it just
gets juiced up. And then all of a sudden it sucked up the diaper stuff, and it's like, oh, watch out, motherfuckers. We're big now.
It's good. It's shooting out shards of ice or something.
Yeah, but it was just some bad luck, and all her friends died, and her boyfriend got sucked off of her, and it was
off an overpass.
So traumatizing.
Weird, yeah. And so that was sad. But then you get a 5-year jump.
I was sort of like, what is it? Watching this, because I grew up in a place where there was tornadoes, like in Michigan, there are tornadoes. And and you can sort of tell when they're coming because the weather does change. But the...
Sylvie and I are familiar.
Yeah.
But I was like watching this, trying to remember from like elementary school, the rules of what you do in different traumatic situations, because I was like, I thought you were supposed to stay in your car, but it's like, no, now they're running out of the car. Matthew. Now they're getting in the overpass. I was like, that feels weird. But then I was like, what? I was like, I thought you're supposed to lay in a ditch. Is that wrong?
I mean, I think the idea is you want to stay low to the ground. They did not want to go in the overpass, but they didn't have options because it was such a strong tornado. They can't just lie in the ground. They have to root themselves. And so they were trying to get to those. You know,
but it feels like it would be better to be in the car than to be loose running around.
No, because then the car gets flung around and you're dead. You're DOA.
But the car can protect you.
No, it could not. I mean, you see cars get sucked up. You think you're going to be protected? Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
Or like cars in car accidents. Like, those things get crushed.
Yeah, you get blown up. They get crushed. They get hit by flying cows. Like,
yeah, but I'd rather be in a car in a car accident than on a bike in a car accident. You know what I mean? Like, I don't just want to be alone.
You're not a meteorologist.
And let's be real, they all did die. So, like, who?
But they would have died in the car too.
Well, we don't know that.
Yeah,
because it was too strong of a tornado. Okay, and they didn't.
The wind
that
goes under the car flips it up.
Yeah,
like physics.
Yeah,
it's basic physics. I don't know.
It's physics.
Questions about.
What is your degree in, Laura?
Meteorological physics.
Yes. Okay. Great. Perfect.
Storm patterns.
Car weight dynamics.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I heard. Someone told me you're supposed to get into the bathtub and just like.
Of course.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the main idea with bathrooms is you're away from windows, usually historically.
That's
they're the smallest or most windowless rooms in your house.
Interesting.
And so you bring
it
back.
Now a lot of people want windows in their bathrooms, though.
Well, so the other thing is that most of them are pretty built into the wall, right? So then you put a mattress over yourself in the bathtub, and that's supposed to protect you.
Oh, yeah, it's a mattress part. Man, if I had to do that, I'd be so dead. Because my mattress is way too heavy for me to just, like,
you don't have a bathtub.
And I don't have a bathtub. I'm just screwed. You know, there was a tornado warning in D.C. a few weeks, months ago, and I was scared. I was texting my friend.
You were
nervous.
Oh, my God.
I was like, the sky is green. I have seen Twister. I've seen the preview for Twisters. I know what's going to happen.
I mean, but you have a basement.
I mean,
interesting development.
Yeah, basements are where it's at. Listen, guys, I can't walk you through disaster scenarios. Okay, I'll have to charge you for that. My side hustle. I'll give you strategies for
disaster preparedness.
Yeah. But anyways, within 5 years, she's working in New York. She moved. She left her little town, Ain't No Love in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And she's still a witch, a weather witch, even in the office, because they're like, should we send out a watch or a warning for this, Daisy? And she's like, looks at a couple of graphs and is like, well, actually, you idiots, the pressure's going down, so there's nothing going to happen.
That's why
they're
like,
wow,
the big
crazy.
Books.
I guess so.
Yeah. Anthony Ramos has been on a journey, though, because he had time to finish his grad program, join the military.
Mourn the death of his friends.
Join the military, somehow become involved in some sort of super tech-heavy, like, building of cameras. Buy out that science somehow to start his own weather firm, which is geared towards helping insurers know the investment risks of property based on weather likelihood.
Which makes no sense, because I don't think that, like, his technology is actually, like, able to predict future tornadoes, right? Like, see, I didn't understand that.
I thought it was like they were trying to scan tornadoes to figure out how, like, how to somehow like buy people's houses once they were destroyed.
No, that but was I a guess side I d- hustle. So he has a business he's starting, and he wants her help. And it's basically to get the science around tornadoes better so that they have data points. And data points are what he uses to sell his, you know, because he has to have investors. You got to have money coming in. And so he's using that to be like, guys, look, if I give you all this data, you'll have a better understanding of, like, what your insurance needs are. How to screw over
poor people.
And yeah, then on top of that, one of his financiers is a, you know, carpet bagging type of steal from the ruined. So he is not directly working for the cowboy who comes in and buys out the property from these situations, but he is funded by them. And that's where his tension lies. That's where his question of morality is grayed. That's what he ultimately disenfranchises himself from while still keeping his company.
Huh.
Which tracks that, tornadoes.
Did you read, like, a treatise on this elsewhere? Like, I don't
think. No, I put it together. Movie. I put it together because he says literally, like, that's, yeah, I needed money. I needed money, Kat, or whatever her name is. And she's like, but at what cost? And then he abandons his greedy coworker in the middle of a tornado path. and says no more, but he still has his company in the end, because he's telling her, like, oh, we've got to go pitch this so that we can get investment to continue these studies. So I just connected those dots.
Okay.
I built my own tri camera around the story here, zeroed in, made my marks. I understand.
I see what you did there. You know, I was just too distracted by Glenn Powell the whole time, frankly, to care about the plot. So it doesn't really bother me that much. Glenn Powell is
the plot. Yeah.
I know. Him in that cowboy hat. Ooh, got
it. See, I don't, like, not that, I obviously find Glenn Powell attractive, but, like, he's not really doing it for me. I was mostly attracted to the dead boyfriend who was only in a couple of scenes.
Oh, that dead boyfriend was so hot. I was like, who are you?
No, dead boyfriend.
Good for you, Leo Grand.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that was it. So good.
Good for you, Leo Grand.
Yes, you Thompson didn't watch one, this, the Emma Thompson one where he's like the sex worker that she hires.
Me to watch
this. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He's also Irish, I think, or British, or Welsh, or something.
Something
from the Isles, from the British Isles, if you will.
Gorgeous. You know, the Glenn Powell discourse is interesting to me, because Matt and I had to go into this with Hitman, which I thought was overrated in every degree. Hitman was
so bad. And Anyone But You, which I hated.
Also so bad. And it's, I know, here's the thing. Glenn Powell normally, like, he gives me kind of weird vibes. Like, I feel like there's weird proportions to him. I know he's a person, shouldn't talk about his body, yada, yada, yada. But country Glenn Powell, I don't know what it is, but I do know what it is. It's the cowboy hat. It's the drawl. It's the smirk. It's him shotgunning a beer at, like, a promo and just being so hot. I just can't handle it, okay?
The shotgunning the beer was so funny, because he struts out there like he owns the place. And then you have Daisy just being like, what are we doing here? I didn't know. And she barely takes a sip and then just hands her beer to Glenn to finish off. And he's like,
I know.
Okay, well, I'd like to say something. I mean, you two, as as more recent connoisseurs of alcohol than myself, the shotgunning a beer is like, I feel like such a stupid kind of thing, because you, like, half of it spills out when you pop it, and then you're trying to like suck it down, but it's hard to get like it doesn't all come out of the can. There's still like lots left in there by the time you kind of like crush it. And okay. So it's like you only end up drinking, I swear, like a third of the beer. So, because also everyone's like, wow, I shotgunned that in 2 seconds. It's like, well, yeah, because most of it didn't actually get into your body. Like, Shelby's now triangulating shotgunning a beer. She is she's got some thoughts on this as well.
Yeah, I've never tried it.
So. I also have never tried it, and it's
I think it's about the experience. I think it's about the brag. I think
isn't
it about the speed of it too? Like,
yes, but that's what I'm saying. Is like, people are like, wow, I chug this so fast, or I like love shotgunning or blah blah blah. It's like such a manly thing. And it's like, you didn't even drink most of the beer in the can. Like, it's stupid.
Dude, it is just the aesthetics of it for some reason. Like, my logical brain shuts off, and just like my reptilian brain is just like, hot. I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm sorry. I'm only a woman.
And maybe that's why they're doing it. But yeah. For me, absolutely. I'd much rather have a hot, maybe British man trying to cover me up under an overpass and then get sucked out into the wind.
I've got you, girl. I've got you.
Also prefer that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but Glenn Powell is a fun character in this because he's a misunderstood, honestly.
YouTuber.
A complex man.
Unfortunately, he's a YouTuber. I think that his backstory is that he's like a PhD student who's in like, oh man, I'm so poor, I gotta make a living on YouTube. I think that's the stick I'm getting.
I think he's a smart kid who ultimately realized, like so many kids of our generation, that why stick to a 9-to-5 when you can chase what you love.
You can wrangle.
You can feel it, chase it.
Yeah. Because it seems like, they sort of make a nod to him being a meteorologist of some sort or having studied.
I know. I think that it would have been.
He went to grad school, right? Or got like a PhD or something.
Yeah.
Which I think that's fine. I think there's a lot of creators on YouTube and whatnot who aren't just like,
you know who it's giving though? It's giving Rick Ross energy of like, I'm this hard rapper, but actually I used to be a cop.
I don't know who I don't get that reference. Lost on
me. You don't know who Rick Ross is, the rapper? Rick Ross? He was
when you say Rick that Roll? The name.
No, not no, Rick Laura. Roll. No. Shelby, why did you invite her on the podcast?
Why are you making references to like
more and more embarrassing
90s rap? Like, honestly,
90s, it's like late 2000s. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's on the song All I Do Is Win with DJ Khaled, which came out like while we were in college.
I don't think I've heard that song.
That is not true.
I'm just kidding.
But anyways, I didn't mind him being this like YouTuber with an actual studied past. I thought that was cool. You know, he's living his dream, throwing fireworks off in tornadoes. Why not? Like, what else should he be doing? Working a desk at the Weather Channel?
Well, we
like,
could sort of relate as, yeah, exactly. as studied literature majors who are now doing a podcast.
Yeah,
it's like, we've also made sacrifices for the enjoyment and entertainment of others.
Exactly. You guys really relate to these characters because you also moved from the West or Midwest to New York to escape.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm basically Daisy.
Yeah, this is really good. I understand why you guys like this movie so much.
Yeah, but then the movie ends with them going back. So what are you saying?
We're gonna go back to Utah one day.
No.
No, we're going to move to Oklahoma is what we're going to do.
Okay. Honestly,
I do think that Oklahoma perhaps funded this movie because it was excellent propaganda.
Sick tornadoes.
Was it?
No. Honestly, I was like, it is beautiful. These people are very hot. The country music is fun. Should I move to Oklahoma? No. I don't know. I'm like,
bad week of
we took a very different lessons from this movie, because it was scene was like, here's this cool thing, now watch as it gets destroyed. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, no, you could go to a fun rodeo with your family, but then
you'll die
for your lives. You could go to a little cute hotel with a pool and then have to hide in the pool so you don't die. Like,
okay, no,
you could go to a farmer's market or a movie theater and have no idea that anything bad is going to happen, and then watch your cousin get sucked out of the TV screen. Like,
no. And then the community comes together and helps y'all fix through it. You know,
if you're still alive. Stories. If you're not one of the dead ones,
I think it's fine. Yeah. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go.
Yeah, but what a way to go. I'd be living in it.
Yeah, like that's what a way. Cool to be just sucked up into a vortex, like stabbed by like debris.
Oh my gosh. Laura, cool. We're going to have to send some help your way.
I'm fine. Are you okay? Maybe Oklahoma is so much better than DC or something. I don't know. I'm just like, get me and start moving west.
You just like those wide open spaces, you know?
Have people started planting coconut trees in DC yet?
Yeah.
No, I'm like, but I have heard a lot about coconuts.
Yeah, I'm like, as the DC correspondent, what is the what's the temperature of the nation?
Well, I did see someone talking about how Kamala needs to get like the whitest, most American person to be her VP. And someone said, well, we have the answer for you, Glenn Powell and Twisters. So I think it's really perfect.
Oh my gosh. Because that would be amazing.
I feel like it'd be a really good fit.
Is he old enough?
No.
This is embarrassing for me.
How old do you have to be? 35?
Yeah, I think it.
No, yeah, well, there definitely is an age limit. Yeah, because I think it's like 35. You could be the president, Laura.
Yeah, Laura, come on. You can't have a 12-year-old.
I'm just testing your constitutional law knowledge.
Yeah, weren't you a lawyer? Oh my god.
Why is it in past tense? I am a
lawyer. You're about to, because you're about to be sucked up and stabbed by debris. Yeah.
You're right. Thank you. I'm putting my 2 weeks notice.
Okay, today, Glenn Powell is 35, and I think you have to be 36 to be president. Did I make that up?
When's his birthday?
So close.
We might make it work.
October 21st.
He's not interested in the gig. I think he's, you know, busy. But I do want to get your guys' take on the interpersonal dynamics of this film. Like, what was the vibe you were picking up on? Like, is this meant to be a love story, a love triangle? Is this meant to be a you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Like, don't let her get away. Will we get a sequel that sees more of a team Edward v. Jacob return? You know what I mean?
I think so.
Who's the third person in the love triangle?
Anthony Ramos.
Oh, I did not get that at all.
Because he at times was like, he was like, oh, I always thought. I swear he has a line about it.
He said, he's like, there was a time where I would have done anything for you. And she's like, oh my God. Like, it was obvious that he was, like, into
him. I was... The sexual chemistry
between
Daisy Edgar Jones and Glenn Powell, I feel like, is so strong. And they're, like... And it's the enemies to lovers thing the whole time.
Ugh,
Anthony Ramos just had, like... best friend energy to me. He was not giving anything.
Well, that's but he doesn't sad. Want to be his best friend. He wants a glow up. He wants a chance.
That was so obvious to me. Like, even in the first scene, like when he was waking up talking to her, I was like, there's something going on here. So, I don't know. Maybe you just aren't picking up on the vibe there. But I did. And I thought that the end, I feel like they must have filmed the scene in the airport because they're like, oh, maybe we do want to have a sequel and we want to have like a love triangle. Because it just felt weird. It felt like disjointed, and it felt like they were both vying for her at the end.
Yeah, because he was like, okay, you stupid idiot, go in there, you dummy, or I will type thing.
And like when they saved her, like when she like came out of like the big like tornado and they both were there and they were both looking at her and she's like, oh my God, I have these too. And then like Glenn Powell's sidekick comes off and he's like, oh my God, I think I love you. It was like all of them were in love with her at that point, you know? It was just, it seemed so obvious. Like, go watch it again, Matt. I don't know.
Laura, I think you were just too horny when you watched this movie.
Everybody wants to bang in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma was the hottest place ever. I wanted to move there.
Everybody's banging.
Well, I'm being called out. This is embarrassing.
Did you see the hot mom helping her daughter down into the swimming pool in the middle of the tornado? Wow, I thought she was sexy. And her and Daisy had a lot of chemistry while they were holding onto that pole together.
Okay, but I do want to talk about the ending because it got a lot
Well, I want to talk about the hottest person in the movie also, who was who was Glenn Powell's hot sidekick from Nope.
Yes.
He was very
was looking good.
Oh my god, his mustache.
He was not given enough time. He really only got the one video. Like, you know, as the
He had the funniest lines though in the movie, you know. He's like,
get rid of the dreadlocks girl.
Oh my god, I hate her.
She's bad in everything.
And just let him be more. You know, like I just
She's in How to Blow Up a Pipeline, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No hate. I wish she had more. I just mean there was a missed opportunity.
I like the muscle girl from Love Lies Bleeding also.
Good for her. Yeah, it's like, I get what they were trying to do, which is in Twister, they have your like ensemble of quirky characters.
Ensemble.
R.I.P.
Yeah, so I know. A lot of famous people in that, actually, Matt. Like, a lot of recognizable faces. You've got the nerdy kid from Lost. You have the...
Ferris Bueller in Succession actor.
Oh, yeah, you've got...
Oh, yes, Alan Ruck.
And...
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Bill Paxton, Helen Hunt.
Well... They're the main, but yeah. Well, but here it was like every crew had their like dorky side characters, so it was hard to really feel attached to any of them. So I do feel like there was room to cut a couple of them. But good job flying that drone that one time, you know, like that's Team Blair.
I wish we had more of his sidekick though, because his like I don't know. Handkerchief thing and mustache were really nice. They were really working for me, but
yeah,
I guess I was just horny the whole time, Matt. So
exactly. I think it was a fun idea to have these YouTubers who just take requests for what to shoot into a tornado. Like I think that was very funny. I think that's very true to life. It's giving Jake Paul energy.
It was giving the Paul brothers.
Yeah, and I respected that, and I thought fireworks in a tornado is a very interesting question mark. So I'm glad I got to witness that.
One thing I feel like has been underappreciated about this movie, and one of the many reasons why it's better than Civil War, which came out earlier this year, was its depiction of journalists in the field. And I did really love the British journalist in this movie throwing up and like not really having a good handle on what was going on and having no idea what tornadoes were. Like,
that made you feel proud.
I was like, yes. And this is representation. Like, you just go because it's a story and then really have no idea what you're in for. And also, I thought he was so funny, and he's from Downton Abbey. And he was one of my favorite parts. Every time he came on the screen, I was like, great, more of him, please.
They did kind of lose the plot on some of these subplots for sure. Because I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
He disappeared for a big chunk of it.
Yes, and but then the story was about her all along.
Yeah, it was all about her.
It's always been about her.
Yeah, I mean, when you like really break down the whole premise and like her having to realize like, oh, actually I can stop this tornado, so I'm going to do it right now in this giant F5 tornado that's ripping through this town and I'm the only hope. And it's cheesy. It's ridiculous. It's silly. It's over the top. But I loved it. It was great.
I loved it.
Also, more tyranny was so good.
I love the idea of Anthony Ramos's character being like, I have to go help this little town. And it's like, aren't we in Oklahoma? Don't all of these people know what to do in a tornado? Like, I don't understand why they're just like, wait, I'm shopping here. Why are you yelling at me? Like,
you know, in the
I found that very unrealistic.
Post-COVID, you have all these transplants coming into these little towns. So they just aren't aware about the tornado.
They don't know the rules.
It's people like me, you know, I would
they
be that
move
person
from
like,
Houston or wherever. Yeah. They're coastal elites from Baltimore and they're now living in Oklahoma. But the thing is, like, they're tornadoes, idiots. Like, do. Like, they don't just come out of nowhere. Like,
correct.
You know for a while that a tornado is coming. So there's no way that it's like, oh, the farmer's market is going on if there's, like, a tornado that is could potentially touch down.
I wouldn't say you know for a while. I mean, I know very little about tornadoes, but having seen Twister, I do
it
know that they
minutes.
Can form very quickly. Yeah.
Well, like, yes, but the... Yes,
three
but the...
minutes, Matthew.
But the... But... The, like, environment is like, you know, ahead of time. Like, you right. don't know if it's going to form a tornado, but like, that's why there's tornado watch versus tornado warning. And I feel like they're pretty liberal, at least in right. Michigan, about throwing out a tornado watch for just right. like tons of counties. And then everyone's sort of like, okay, got to like hunker well, down because something might back be happening.
To our, to our weather witch, she yeah. knew it was turning and the other people didn't. So maybe
wait, but
there's
they're
a town.
They get too lazy. You know, they get too comfortable. They don't respect Mother Nature.
This
movie
like,
is making a statement
to
the apathy.
Go home.
Exactly.
There might be hot people at the farmer's market, and they got to get
and
out
there.
And there
were. Okay. When Powell struts up, you're like, okay, I made the right call. Thank you. Please save me. Tell me where to go. Hold on to me for dear life.
Do you guys know that they almost cut the, like, wet, rain, white t-shirt scene?
Oh my god!
Well, they like should have had a shirtless scene. I'm shocked that that wasn't that yeah. there wasn't a shirtless scene.
Yeah,
you said it, not me. Ben.
You're telling me that we couldn't have had like a Padme in Attack of the Clones sort of like a oh no, yeah. like my shirt was artfully ripped
my
off
gosh,
kind of a thing.
These icicles, they just yeah. got yeah. to me.
Oh, the wind ripped it right shit. Off my yeah. body.
I will Ooh, say this movie hot, was scared actually. To be. Horny because it didn't end with a kiss and they're all out there being like, oh, it's the Spielberg twist, like you don't want the story to end so you can't have them kiss. I'm like, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about? Just let them kiss. They're like, oh, actually it's really like empowering to her because the story's not about her love life, it's about her finding herself again. And I was like, yeah, she found herself in the arms of Glenn Powell, like
yeah,
you take the shot, you know. It's like, just show us the kiss. Like I feel like that would have worked for them to make out and then for the flight to be delayed and them to go back out and be like, let's go hunt some tornadoes, you know?
Yeah, okay, wait. Like women can't have it all.
I
yeah,
have a pitch.
Exactly.
I have a pitch for
let's
the third
it,
movie.
Let's
okay, well, one, I think they have to pull a Laura Dern and bring back Helen Hunt for if they're
right.
doing another one.
I have
you
a
have to bring
fate.
Back the legacy characters. But also, I think, what if the original boyfriend didn't die?
He was in a coma.
He had amnesia.
For five years, you can have amnesia for five years.
Sure.
This is giving.
But
Jane
wouldn't his family
And then he
know,
sees,
like,
and then he sees the. Well, maybe his family hates her so much that they don't want to tell her that he's alive.
Yeah, they
and
blame
so.
Her.
Yeah, because they blame her. But then he sees her on the street of New York City and it awakens something in him.
She's
and then
no
now
longer
it's
in New York.
Well, but when she goes back.
She's not going back.
She has to go back at some point. She has a job. She has a job.
Sure.
There.
She's no longer working for the Weather Service. She is pitching
her
and Anthony Ramos's business. Okay.
She has things she has to go back for. Okay. Shelby, just that's not.
Yeah.
Issue.
Yeah.
Okay,
she has to
so she's gonna go back.
Pack up her apartment or something.
Yeah. Why is he in New York?
Because that's where he went after, because he also had to get away from the, I don't know. They see each other at some point and he's
no,
like,
no,
wait.
No, it's not a rodeo.
I recognize, not a rodeo. It's a rodeo
yeah,
and
he's on the bucking bull and he's like, oh my God, who's this woman?
And then
he
falls
and
he gets his
again.
Memories back.
Yes,
oh.
yes, oh falling
God,
off
yes.
the bull. Wow, crazy.
It's a reboot.
And also then we can get that classic cinematic scene where it's like she recognizes that it's him on the bull. And so nobody else is standing up, but she stands up and Glenn Powell's like, wait, what's going on? And she's like, that's my ex-boyfriend.
He's like, oh, well, I've got to go home now. I'm props to you. He's the winner. Thank you and good night. You know that?
Right.
I honestly don't know about that. I expected Helen Hunt to be in this movie because the whole first half she's like avoidant about her mom and like literally has a scene where she doesn't want to say her last name. And I thought it was going to be that she was her daughter and like couldn't handle the like nepo baby aspect of it. You know what I mean?
Sure. I think here's how I think it should be connected though. I think that Glenn Powell's character should be the son of Helen Hunt. And it's just like that'd be great. And it was like the homages too. It's like he's wearing the white shirt, she was wearing the white shirt in Twister. She had a wet scene, he has a wet like rain scene, you know, like it would just be perfect symmetry.
I love that.
And then it's not about like, oh, Helen Hunt's character is just like a mom waiting at home for her daughter to come home. No, she's like some cool PhD director and her son has like inherited
that's really good.
Like I know. I think that's how it should be.
I think if they're doing a sequel, they should compete. It should be Helen Hunt versus Daisy Edgar Jones at first. Like exactly. They're like rivals, seeing who can.
I don't like that vibe, Laura. I don't like the possessive mom vibe. No, thank you.
No, I think that they should be like racing to see who can get it done first. And then at the end, she is the professor.
She's the PhD director that she has to go through to like approve her testing. And they'll be like, this is a crazy idea. They'll be at each other's throats academically. And then she'll realize, oh, wait, this is my boyfriend's mom. And it'll be like awkward. And they'll be battling. So somehow or another,
this is turning into a mix of... what's the Emma Stone movie where
Crazy Stupid Love
and like Dead Poet Society.
Exactly. That sounds like a great mashup to me
with Tornado.
Stupid Love is one of the worst movies I have ever seen,
but
I
not
hate
the
that
part
movie.
With not the part where they realize who how they're all involved. That's a great scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Marissa Tomei is in Crazy Stupid Love, and she would be great also in this universe, I think.
That would be, yeah.
Although Marissa Tomei really and Maura Tierney are like the same person, but not.
Yeah, but not. No, what? I think overall, this was a fun film, and I think it's obviously doing supremely well. Like, everyone wants to see it. Everyone wants to see it in 4XD. I mean, I want to see it in 4X just to experience that roller coaster of a ride. And I think it, like you said, it reflects well, because I always get nervous when these silly popcorn movies like take off. But I do think there was a real care involved in making this silly movie as good as it could be. And I respect that. I respect it fully.
And I think it like revitalized country music, at least for me, because I have been listening to that soundtrack.
I love how obvious the soundtrack is. It is like,
oh my God,
it ain't home.
It's hilarious.
In Oklahoma.
It's like, girls are better than boys.
You know what? It's giving the country version of like the Bravo like background soundtrack songs. Yeah. You know, like.
There's girls love the money.
Like, oh, this storm's really scary, but I love to be scared. Like, it's just like iconic.
I'm driving in my truck and I'm chasing a storm now.
I used to live in the city, but I can't get out of Oklahoma.
No, it's that you can't spell Oklahoma without home.
Yes.
You can't get home without Oklahoma.
Lainey Wilson, no less, who's the worst, I feel like.
Like Miranda Lambert. They have Shania Twain
iconic.
On this. They have like all these, I don't know, country songs.
I honestly think that we've lost the art of soundtracks. So I loved this moment because I've been watching Bones, the TV show, and every episode ends with a needle drop.
Laura, sidebar. Is Shelby okay? Do we need to send someone to check
every
on
episode
her?
From TV not watching ends Bones? With a needle drop of like a major pop song or something, just like sort of related, unrelated. Oh and God. I love that oh about God. Like movies and whatnot.
Since you've been boned,
was separated by about 5 years, but close.
Yeah, whatever.
So I loved this, the importance of this soundtrack in telling the story.
Yeah, it was excellent.
It was great. A good time for sure.
Okay, this
is
my
best like original score to the Oscars, I think.
Well, no, this was my question. Was that...
Only count Shelby. Shush.
Was that... Well, I mean, it definitely it could definitely win best original song. But do we think? I feel like that this could possibly get the like sort of blockbuster slot, because I feel like the last couple of years at the Oscars we've had like what's like the really big blockbuster that's also, you know, not like a franchisey thing necessarily, and we'll give that best picture nominee, you know, like Top Gun or Barbie.
This is not Top Gun. I don't think so.
I'm like, I feel like
it's
this
better than
like
Top Gun.
I think it's I liked it more than I like Top Gun.
I would be so shocked if this gets an Oscar nomination beyond like special effects, maybe sound mixing.
No.
I don't know.
Best original song. I feel like it's
best original song.
What else is competing in that category right now? Nothing.
Well, you'll have all the heavy hitters this fall.
Lady Gaga.
The Joker. Yeah.
And the Joker.
Oh, we have the Bob Dylan movie too coming out.
Yeah.
Timothée. Okay, yeah, I take it back. I still think it should win over those, just preemptively. I know that it should.
But like, what song? There's so many songs that it's like, what's the Twisters song?
Also, the Oklahoma you can see song. That Lady Gaga is performing with Celine Dion at the opening ceremony of the Olympics.
Celine
I'm sort
Dion.
Of like, I'm like, what is, because she's not, like, she's Canadian, like French Canadian, but Lady Gaga is not French at all that I'm aware of. I'm like, this is the most random ass combination of people.
Well, it's about nations coming together. So
right, but like at the London Olympics, we had like the Spice Girls. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like you just get random pop stars. Like you're supposed to be getting people who like showcase your country.
Do you know really good French pop stars?
No, but I assume that the French people know good French pop stars. Like, and that's the thing. It's right, like when they had the K-pop groups performed in Korea. I was like, wait, I love them, and then went and downloaded a bunch of their songs off Spotify.
I do love K-pop.
That is interesting.
Lady Gaga is Italian, as she will tell you over and over and over and over again. They weren't even on the same side in World War II. Like
history. Nice.
History.
I think we're trying to move past that.
Yeah.
I guess.
Again, nations coming together.
To compete. I think
like how Twisters is bringing the country together.
Yeah, we're all moving to Oklahoma, I guess.
I do wish that I could know a little bit more about Glenn Powell's political beliefs in Twisters specifically. You know, like, what kind of Arkansas?
Are you in love with a Republican? A great question. Yeah.
It's a really scary question of the time.
I think he has good politics. And this is what I'll say about that. Because clearly he is hanging out with two lesbians.
That's true. Yeah. He has a very diverse.
Yeah.
And he's like a socialist. He's like delivering. He's not taking any profit for himself from his merch. He's giving it back to the people.
But it is like we run a corporation so that we can help people. That feels very like libertarian.
I don't think he's a corporation. He's a YouTube channel.
I think it's an LLC at most.
Yeah, at most.
Oh, wow. You're getting really technical about legal terms right there, guys. Like, take a back seat, okay?
Aren't you the lawyer running a YouTube channel for people?
Know anymore.
We bring you on the show to give us some legal advice, and all you can do is thirst after everybody in this movie.
Yeah, I'm having a really hard time doing my job. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's rough out here. DC is not known for its hot people. Okay,
Laura is giving Laura's giving Laura Dern in Marriage Story vibe as a lawyer. You know, like let me just whip that blazer off and sort of like
that is a huge compliment.
We don't accept it structurally, and we don't accept it spiritually. Literally.
Yeah, exactly. Good job, Laura. You take that to the grave. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm shocked I haven't used that as an Instagram caption yet because I say that line all the time. I love that line. That's a great line.
I'm gonna
add
that to my like signature line.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you should. Laura Dern. Okay. Is there anything to discuss? We're nearing an hour.
I know.
Okay, I mean, I could talk about it forever, but I'll stop.
I really could. I do think it has fundamentally changed me as a person.
We don't want to know in which ways that is.
Wait, which tornado was your guys' favorite? Which part?
I don't remember.
Let me think about what are the options? I mean, I think the best scene is maybe the first scene where they
I loved the rodeo slash pool tornado was also a good one. You have the you have the like it hits a power plant.
Yeah.
Oh, the fire tornado. Yeah. That's the final one. There.
Yeah.
No, it's not the final one, is it?
I think so. The final one's going for a while.
Okay, that's right. That's right. I do think the pool scene was cool. You know, she was like thinking through what she's got to do, and then it's like crawling through the pool, and he goes.
Yeah, and that stupid idiot wouldn't listen. Wouldn't listen to Glenn Powell saying, "Get down."
Well, they
I would listen to that. Bada bing, bada boom.
See, that is one thing that I like about the opening of the movie, because I feel like in lots of movies they have to make and they do this in horror movies a lot, where it's like, oh, if they're gonna kill someone off, they have to make them seem like a horrible person first. So it's always someone being like, you know, I hate women. Also, I'm not gonna listen to you. Oh, now I was shot. It's like, okay, great, but like we could also just kill a regular person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. tornadoes.
Like, everybody at that hotel who died sucked ass. Like, they were the worst group of people ever before they bit the dust.
That's true.
That is true. Yeah.
And no animals. I really expected the rodeo to be sucked up, but the animals, maybe the implication is some of them were sacrificed, but you never saw it.
That would have been too on the nose to the original Twister. You know, it would have been like, oh, we got bowls or something. It would have been too cheesy.
Yeah.
But I would have loved it, but it would have been too cheesy. Save it
for the sequel.
Yeah. Helen Hunt will say it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not when this again. Back. Yeah.
Honestly, that scene in Twister is so good. Matt, you need to watch it. You need to find a great theater.
I'll watch it. Maybe I'll watch it whenever I come visit Shelby again.
Yes, please. I'll do it.
You should come down to DC for one night when Shelby's here.
Wait, when are you coming to DC?
Anyway, I'm going.
I'm going to the Weezer concert, obviously.
What?
Heck yeah.
What? Weezer is playing in DC? Weezer still does concerts? Like, what?
Oh yeah, and then they sold out. They opened another night because it's so popular. Yeah.
And so, you're so going, cool. Laura?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm with my brother. It's the whole thing. That's how we. That's what
Shelby,
we grew up on.
Travis and I bonded through that, mm-hmm. you know?
Through Weezer. So the three of you are going to see a Weezer show in DC.
Yeah.
In August? Like soon?
September. I don't know what the question's about, but yeah. I don't know what you're surprised. Weezer.
If you want to destroy my sweater.
What's with these homies?
Yeah.
You know, I unfortunately am not going to be able to, you know, respond with Weezer lines. I do not know them.
Wow, so embarrassing. I can't believe we invited you on this podcast. Yeah. Weezer lyrics. So embarrassing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, on that note, we actually do have to end this episode. Yeah. I'm not sure what we're covering next week. Is next week, please tell me it's not Wolverine versus
Deadpool.
Deadpool. I don't want to.
We can do
that.
Another hour of Twister coverage if you want. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see.
We might have to check Laura into some sort of sex rehab clinic next weekend. So we might be off for a week, everybody. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Please keep us in your thoughts and prayers while Laura gets a restraining order from Glenn Powell. Thank you all for listening. And we'll be back next week, provided we don't die in a tornado. Bye.